Eads turns a profit in 2008, but can it survive 2009? Obama may shelve the KCX tanker project. And Delta and United cut international capacity. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, March 11th, 2009. On Tuesday, European Aeronautic Defense and Space Corporation had good news and bad news for the markets. The good news was a 2008 net profit of $2 billion U.S., despite $894 million in losses tied to the interminable A400M military transport program. The net profit comes after a 2007 marked by big losses. But the bad news was that that A400M is headed for even deeper trouble in 2009, just as worldwide demand for airliners collapses. The governments of the UK and Germany and French electronics manufacturer Thales, all partners in the A400M, have said they want no part of any additional investment that Eads has hinted will be needed to bring the plane to production readiness. Eads admits the A400M won't be ready for deliveries to customers for another 4 years. When the program misses its first flight deadline later this year, original partners will be eligible to demand return of their deposits totaling over $7 billion, a loss way beyond the most optimistic expectations for profits elsewhere within Eads. Analysts agree such a total collapse of the A400M would be catastrophic for Eads, but they also don't expect it to happen. Evolution Securities analyst Nick Cunningham does predict Eads will see $3 billion in new losses tied to the A400M in 2009 and has rated the stock sell. The U.S. Air Force's Eisenhower-era KC-135 tankers might have to be patched together just a little bit longer. Faced with a deep recession, an agenda promising increased spending on social programs, and campaign promises to reform government procurement, the Obama administration is hinting the KCX tanker competition may not get revisited now till 2014. Congressional Quarterly cites three sources close to discussions now underway on the president's first defense budget and reports the White House may tell the Pentagon to delay the tanker program, as well as scrap all plans for a new long-range bomber. The paper reports its sources say the Office of Management and Budget submitted several offset options to the Pentagon for freeing up funding for other military programs, such as the F-22 Raptor and the F-35 Lightning II. Winslow Wheeler, who's head of the Strauss Military Reform Project at the Center for Defense Information, says if those reports are true, quote, OMB is beginning to show itself as a breath of fresh air after decades of prostrate compliance with Pentagon wishes, unquote. Opposition could be fierce from lawmakers prone to use defense contracts as job banks for their home districts. And in the words of one Senate aide who spoke with Congressional Quarterly, quote, in the end, Congress will write the appropriations bills, unquote. Delta Airlines, blaming, quote, the worsening global economy, unquote, gave employees a heads up early yesterday, then followed by telling investors it will cut capacity 10% on international routes beginning in September. The Associated Press reports United Airlines is moving even more quickly, cutting its international seats by 15% in the first quarter alone. The heaviest impact is expected to be on routes serving Asia. In a bit of good news for the airlines, despite a loss of oil production capacity in Nigeria and rumblings from OPEC that members might again cut oil production at this weekend's meeting, oil has remained below $50 a barrel. Boeing Aircraft CEO Scott Carson was also talking to investors yesterday. While the record order backlogs, which could save his company from feeling the worst of the recession, depend on ever-shaky credit markets to allow airlines to actually take delivery of those orders, Carson told the J.P. Morgan Aviation and Transportation Conference, customers should be able to secure financing on new aircraft purchases this year and into early 2010. Quoted by Dow Jones, he also admitted that from that point on, things get iffy. Quote, we face dramatic challenges for the next several quarters. We're watching each of our customers on a daily and weekly basis, unquote. After confirming that the Dreamliner remains on track to meet its latest revised milestone dates, Carson commented, quote, we're humbled by our mistakes, but optimistic about the products we're bringing into the marketplace, unquote. Up next on ANN, a snowstorm may have cost two GA commuters their lives. AirTran says a la carte fees are responsible for its profitability. And you may be a redneck if your FBO is in a trailer. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 11th. I'm Paul Plack. Two men reportedly flying to their jobs at Los Alamos National Laboratories in northern New Mexico were killed on Monday when their aircraft crashed in wintry conditions about 20 miles east-northeast of Albuquerque. KRQE-TV News reports the aircraft, type unknown, hit terrain near the intersection of New Mexico Highways 14 and 344, that's south of the community of Golden in the foothills of the San Pedro Mountains. After 2 months of severe drought, many areas of central New Mexico received their first measurable precipitation of the year Monday morning. Heavy snow was falling and ceilings were low in the area when the accident occurred. KOAT-TV News identified the pilot as Randy Rupert. FAA records show a 1971 Grumman AA-1B trainer registered to a Randall Rupert with an Edgewood address. Officials have not released the identity of the passenger. The aircraft reportedly departed Sandia Air Park Estates on a northerly course to Los Alamos. Officials believe the pilot may have been attempting a return to Sandia, forced by weather, when the accident occurred. Watch for more updates as details become available at aero-news.net. Secretary of the Navy Donald Winter decided Tuesday the status of Captain Michael Scott Speecher is to be changed from missing captured to missing in action. As we've reported, Speecher was the first U.S. pilot to be shot down during Operation Desert Storm in 1991. He was declared killed in action, body not recovered, in May of 1991. His status was changed in 2001 to MIA, and then again to missing, captured in 2002, based on sightings reported in Iraq. Well, the Navy said those sightings have since been discredited, and last October, the intelligence community concluded that Speecher is deceased. But just weeks ago, a Navy review board agreed with family members and concluded the government needed to do more to find out what exactly happened to Speecher before changing the airman's status again. It looks like all the grumbling endured by the airlines about a la carte fees may have been worthwhile. AirTran Airways Chief Executive Bob Fornaro says the fees for checked bags and other services are proving a big help in getting through a period during which passenger traffic is falling and fares are being cut. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution notes that AirTran charges $15 for the first checked bag and $25 for the second, and other fees for seats in exit rows and advanced seat reservations. Fornaro tells the paper AirTran's overall revenues are up. As for the recession, Fornaro says the resulting lower fuel costs have helped airlines, but, quote, consumer demand is low. We really don't know where the bottom is. There will be more discounting and fare sales, unquote. He says that Delta, the other airline with a hub in Atlanta, may get hurt more than AirTran in 2009 because it relies more heavily on international routes. Quote, the more global you are in 2009, the bigger the negative impact is going to be, unquote. Fornaro says he expects AirTran to turn a profit in every quarter this year. For the better part of two decades, the Greenville-Spartanburg International Airport in South Carolina has been fighting an uphill image battle. For years, it was known as the Greenville-Spartanburg Jetport. Around 1990, a coordinated effort was made to get the locals to call it GSP, thought to be a more upscale-sounding name like LAX. Well, locals responded by joking it would be more accurately called the Greenville-Spartanburg Propeller Port. A more recent blow to the airport's image was dealt in 2007 by a rainstorm, which collapsed the roof of the General Aviation Terminal. In what probably should have become a Jeff Foxworthy joke, Stevens Aviation, the field's FBO, was forced to move out of the unsafe building and into a trailer. Well, things are finally looking up. The Spartanburg Herald Journal reports the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport Commission awarded a contract Monday valued at $1.25 million to John Scott General Contractors of Greenville for construction of a new 5,000-square-foot GA terminal. It'll even have some thoroughly modern touches, using mostly recycled materials in construction and incorporating rainwater collectors, daylighting, and a solar water heating system. GSP spokeswoman Rosalind Weston observes, quote, "For some of our customers, this is their first impression of the upstate, and we want to make it a good one," unquote. Construction is expected to start by April 1st and be finished by the end of the year. Still ahead, Diamond lands an important sale. American Airlines completes a landmark flight. And was it murder by gyroplane? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, March 11th. I'm Paul Plack. A new contract announced Monday marks an impressive deal for Diamond Aircraft. New Zealand's Massey University wants two DA-42 Twin Stars and 12 DA-40 Diamond Star aircraft. Massey is New Zealand's only university with an aviation school and offers degrees which incorporate professional pilot training. School General Manager Ashok Paduval says Massey will be the first flight training organization in New Zealand with its entire fleet equipped with the Garmin G1000. The aircraft will operate from Milson Flight Systems Center at Palmerston North Airport. Diamond expects the first four aircraft to be delivered by the end of May and the entire new fleet in place by the end of the year. American Airlines and aviation partners Boeing announced this week the first revenue flight of a Boeing 767-300ER equipped with APB's blended winglets, days after the winglet installation received supplemental type certification from the FAA. American Flight 78 left DFW Sunday morning with 204 passengers and arrived ahead of schedule at London Heathrow on Monday morning. Each plane equipped with the winglets is expected to save up to a 500,000 gallons of fuel per year, depending on miles flown, according to APB. American Airlines says it plans to install winglets on all 58 of its 767-300ERs. Sun Country Airlines continues on the road to recovery, announcing yesterday that it has repaid in full the debtor-in-possession financing received in December. President and CEO Stan Gatek commented, quote, "Sun Country has become more efficient and financially stronger despite adverse circumstances. Our success is due to the loyalty and dedication of every member of the Sun Country team and the continuing strong support of our customers," unquote. The specialty airline normally sees revenue spike in the winter months as snowbirds head for warmer vacation destinations. It has weathered the Chapter 11 bankruptcy of its parent company, Petters Aviation LLC, and the resignation of founder Tom Petters following a federal raid on his home and office as part of an investigation into investment irregularities. Sun Country employees hung in first through a pay cut, then through a deferral of some 2008 pay into 2009, and Gatek won concessions from creditors to hold his plan together. In January, the airline announced its first fourth-quarter profit since 2002. The airline also projects a profit for the current quarter and 2009 as a whole, for the first time in years. Customers rate Sun Country's service highly. Gatek says, quote, "We are doing things right and building a strong foundation for a solid future," unquote. And finally, a 48-year-old man known for his enjoyment of working with dogs to support fox hunters in England is dead, and local officials are investigating the possibility of foul play. Trevor Morse was pronounced dead at Long Marston Airfield near Stratford-upon-Avon, Warwickshire, on Monday. Two men were arrested on suspicion of murder and were being questioned to determine whether they intentionally ran Morse down with a gyroplane. The Times of London reports between 80 and 100 huntsmen were out on the last day of the Warwickshire hunt season. They say they were being followed by a gyroplane for about 2 hours in the early afternoon on Monday. An animal rights group called Protect Our Wild Animals was known to be using a gyro over the past 3 weeks to keep an eye on the hunt. The group's website says it, quote, advocates the observance of hunts by the use of video and still cameras to record the cruelty and vandalism of hunting, unquote. There had reportedly been complaints from both hunt participants and landowners about low flights. While they can't hover, gyroplanes are well suited for low, slow flight and surveillance applications. UK law requires they maintain at least 500 feet AGL. Responders to the airport Monday reported Morse was beyond help when they arrived. It's thought he may have gone to the airport to confront the pilot and was struck by the craft as it was being taxied to fuel pumps. Watch for word on any new developments in this bizarre incident at aero-news.net. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, Chairman and soon-to-be former President Tom Poberesny tells ANN's Jim Campbell the what, how, and why behind the changes underway at the Experimental Aircraft Association. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.